Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to give you a viewer's warning. I had COVID. I'm better now. But if I forget anything, I'm going to blame it on COVID brain. But again, those of you who are regulars here know that I usually preach extemporaneously, which I'm going to do today, but it's possible that I'll have little difficulty keeping everything straight in mind. So this morning in Luke's gospel, we encounter Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And you have probably all heard this story before, and you're familiar with the vision of this large group of people gathered by the side of the road to see Jesus, and Zacchaeus wants to see what all the hubbub's about. Now, who here has gone to a parade before? Okay. And have you had a good view? Okay, that's good. Okay, so there's I think a more honest answer, the so-so. If you are shorter or younger, it's sometimes hard to see what's going on. And I remember a few years ago, my family went down to New York for Thanksgiving, and we went to see the big parade. And our son was not tall enough to see over everyone's heads. Now, fortunately, our son is a very engaging person. He was cute, and people made room for him to go to the front of the crowd. But that's not always an option. And Zacchaeus was not cute. Now, there's no description of Zacchaeus other than the fact that he was short of stature. We don't know whether he was good looking, whether he was ugly, whether people liked to be around him. We just know he was a tax collector. And that was a horrible thing to be in the ancient world. Yes, you generally had money and power and influence, but nobody liked you. And the tax collectors in Judah and Israel were seen with an extra dose of skepticism because after the Romans had come in, they were seen as collaborators with the occupiers, and they were seen as being crooked. So Zacchaeus would not have had many friends in town, and people would not have been getting out of the way so he could see what was going on. Zacchaeus, though, wanted to see what was going on. And he set aside his pride and his concern about public opinion and climbed a tree. So just imagine this probably well-dressed guy scrambles up a tree to see what's going on. And Jesus comes by. And Jesus calls out to Zacchaeus. And he wants to talk to him. Now, what's the response of the crowd? What are you doing? This guy's a sinner. Why are you talking to him? Why are you paying attention to him? And Jesus, like Zacchaeus, is really not interested in public opinion. And Zacchaeus responds with amazement and, I believe, joy. And he's happy to be recognized by Jesus. And Jesus tells him that he's going to come to his house and have a meal and be his guest, which was another really big deal. Zacchaeus responds by saying that he will make restitution to those he has defrauded. And this passage came to mind as I was thinking about the trip I was supposed to take last week down to Montgomery, Alabama. As many of you know, I was going to a board meeting of the United Church Funds, and we were going to meet in Montgomery as part of the UCC's denominational-wide efforts to work towards racial justice. And when we were in Montgomery, we were going to do our business, but we were also going to visit the National Lynching Memorial. And we were also going to take a tour of civil rights sites in Montgomery. Instead of going to Montgomery last week, I was in bed, recovering from COVID. I got to go to my meeting on Zoom, And Zoom is, frankly, it's a wonderful invention. But I wasn't able to be with my colleagues. And I'd heard from Barb and from Sue Pratt about how powerful this memorial was. They'd been there before, and I regretted not being able to go. But I want to talk about that a little bit, because I've had a chance to reflect on what the memorial's for. And one of the more contentious issues in our society these days is the topic of race relations and reparations. And people talk about how that's absolutely necessary. Other people say, why me? A member of our congregation here who's taken deep interest in Native American issues may ask what we're doing for our Native American brothers and sisters. And one of the problems we have when we're dealing with issues of racial justice is we often make them more complicated than they need to be. And sometimes we will make things so complex and so complicated that we decide we can't deal with them and that we'd rather just walk away and leave them for another day. Think about Zacchaeus. He was looking for something. He was looking for Jesus. And Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. And they both could have come up with reasons to not look for one another. But they didn't. So some people here may be saying, what do I owe people from the past? You might be saying, my ancestors were still in Europe during the times of slavery. So what? We're all white people here today. We've all benefited from whiteness. That is a fact. Now, I'm not telling anyone to go try to change their racial makeup. We are who we are. We don't need to be defined by the past, but we can look at the example of Zacchaeus, who wanted to make restitution for the past. And yeah, we can get lost in the weeds about what is 40 acres and a mule worth today in 2022 dollars. But that's avoiding the issue. We have a responsibility to one another. And it's not a matter of how we vote or what our political preferences are. If we are followers of Jesus, and I don't care whether you come to church every Sunday and serve on a bunch of committees, or whether this is the first time you've come to church in years, something about the message of Jesus spoke to you and drew you in. And I've said this before, Jesus wants us to care for one another. Think about that. We talk about the kingdom of God. What is it? It's not Oz. It's not some beautiful city where the streets are always cleaned and there's always the ability to drive without traffic slowing you down. It is about a place and a world that reflects God's love. That simple. And yes, that hard. So I'm not going to say that we can build the kingdom of God. We can't do that. But we can help God do that. And we can help prepare the way for Jesus to come back. So I want to spend a little bit more time talking about Montgomery, which I didn't get to visit. I've only been to Alabama a couple of times in the past, and never any further than Auburn, which is a lovely community. But Montgomery is a place that I've never had any real interest in visiting before this meeting. But it's part of our history. And part of knowing what is going on in one's community is learning its history. Not so we can repeat the mistakes or the triumphs of the past. What's happened has happened. It is over. but we live with the reverberations in the present. And we can decide, as followers of Jesus, that we want to be citizens of the kingdom of God and not live in our own little narrow worlds. So we don't know what happens to Zacchaeus in the long run. We don't know how his Roman overlords reacted to his decision to make restitution. Frankly, he must have been a bad example to the other tax collectors, who either said, he's nuts, we want to ignore him, or he's dangerous because he's doing things that we should be doing too. But think about that. What happened to Zacchaeus after he came down from that tree? How did he reforge relationships with his neighbors? And while Zacchaeus needed to take the initiative, what did his neighbors do? Were they willing to let him turn over a new leaf? Were they willing to accept him as a son of Abraham, as one of their community? That is critical. And that's part of the story we don't explore. But we need to. Because a community is a two-way street. And just as we want to be welcomed, we need to welcome others. So, I don't know about you if you've ever been part of a club or an organization or church that has struggled to welcome newcomers in. This church has talked about welcoming people a lot over the last few years, and sometimes we do a better job of that than others. But why are we not always as welcoming as we would like to be? I don't think it's because anybody here bears ill will towards newcomers. But if we were having coffee hour, which hopefully we'll resume again after the pandemic, it's really easy to talk to people you already know. It's really easy to do committee business rather than see a new person and zoom in on them. Now, yes, we can be too welcoming. It is possible to be in a church community where the newcomers are glommed onto and everyone's really excited, and before they've had a chance to sit down in their pews, they've been invited to join a committee. We're not going to be that place. I hope not. But we can welcome newcomers. And we can say to the people who are visiting with us, we are happy you are here with us today. The church doesn't keep statistics for the sake of keeping statistics. We have no central office which checks in with us to see what our membership count is. We just like to keep track of those numbers because we like to have a sense of how worship attendance is. But again, you know, tomorrow's going to be Halloween. And we live here in the School Street neighborhood, and this is not a pitch for you and your kids to come by, but and I'm going to tip my hat to my wife, Rachel. She has been really keen on the parsonage being a welcoming place. And we've got a bit of a rep as a good house to go to on Halloween. And she always pulls out all of the stops and decorating. And the year she was working out of town and I was responsible for Halloween, I did not decorate. And people asked me where the decorations were. And I told them we were doing an invisibility theme that year. I think that worked once. But it's important for people to know that the church is welcoming. It's important for people to know that the parsonage is welcoming. And we will have a crazy large number of young people come by, dressed up, enjoying themselves. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Not a big party, but a place where everybody is welcome. Think about that. So I'm going to wrap up my rambling this morning to invite everybody here to think about Zacchaeus, who turned his back on his past, but he turned his back on his deep past before he was able to turn his back on his past. And what I'm saying is that he had forgotten who he was, a child of God, before he focused on being a tax collector and raking in the bucks. And then he turned his back on being a tax collector and went back to being a child of God. God always wanted Zacchaeus. Think about that. God never stopped wanting to welcome Zacchaeus back. But it's a two-way street. And I'm not going to place all the blame on you and me. But the truth is that we have to be open to God's embrace. We have to be open to the Spirit moving in our hearts. And when we do that, we will get to know God. And that's the long and the short of it. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of Scripture and for the stories that it tells us. We thank you for the witness and the faith of those around us. We thank you for our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.